The purpose of Wealth Talk is to educate, inform, and hopefully entertain you on the subject of building your wealth. Wealth Builders recommends you should always take independent financial, tax, or legal advice before making any decisions around your finances.
Welcome to episode 160 of Wealth Talk. My name is Christian Rodwell, the Membership Director for Wealth Builders, and I'm joined today by our founder, Mr. Kevin Whelan. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, Chris. Good to be with you again, as always, and another fascinating insight to one of our members today.
It's that time of the month again, yeah, where we shine the spotlight on one of our members, and today that member is Neil Munday. And Neil joined us only a year ago, but he's achieved an incredible amount within that short space of time. And Neil, of course, lives up in Scotland. He's married to his wife, Marie. And Neil's a, you know, a high flyer. He's a high earner. He works hard in his day job, but he still finds the time to build wealth. And what a great job he's done.
Well, it's a whirlwind, isn't it, really? And you'll hear from him the catalyst because, you know, there's sometimes a misunderstanding that goes on, you know, that people who have got high incomes are wealthy, you know, because they could sometimes carry themselves, sound well, you know, they've got nice cars, nice houses, but it isn't recurring. So it's still ultimately trading time for money. And what I found to be true, Chris, is some of the most successful people in terms of their ability to earn an income have the biggest drop in their standard of living when that income eventually dries up. For whatever reason, that could happen. Now, we know there's an economic crisis on the way. We know that sometimes that has an impact on people losing their jobs. Health can throw in something to impact on that. And we know from my story, you know, sometimes tragic early deaths do that, and that can devastate a family. So I think it was good of Neil to spot that in a quiet moment of reflection that you pulled out of him, that maybe I'm doing well, but I'm not building residual recurring wealth building income. And that's a fundamental lesson that I think any high earners out there, or any medium earners, you know, out there, ambitious employees is who we're aiming for, isn't it, really? So people who want that ambition of being able to maintain that lifestyle, or even a better lifestyle with a better work-life balance by building recurring income, not just trading time for money.
That's right. And the process we'll be walking through today is our 9-step recurring revenue roadmap. And that's what we teach our members inside the Wealth Builders Academy. So if you are interested in the process we're talking about today and you want to find out a bit more about how we help people, then do head over to wealthbuilders.co.uk/academy and you can read all about it there. So I think Neil's got lots to say, so let's not hold back any longer. Let's head on to our conversation with Neil Munday. Neil, welcome to Wealth Talk today. How are you?
Yeah, great. Thank you, Christian. Really appreciate the invite to participate.
Well, we had to have you come and share your story, Neil, because it's been a whirlwind year since you joined the Wealth Builders Academy, and you've done so much. And really looking forward to walking through our 9-step roadmap, which, of course, is the process that we teach all of our members to move from a place of financial insecurity through to security and then onwards towards independence. So as usual, we're going to go through each of the 9 steps. And of course, it's broken down into 3 stages. Stage 1 is all about building confidence. So let's start then at the beginning, Neil, with step 1. And this is all about mindset. So starting with the why. So was there a particular catalyst or point which you can think back to where you said to yourself, you know, I really need to start focusing on building my wealth?
Yeah, very much so, Christian. So it really came on the back of 9 months of lockdown, like a lot of members, and really gave me time to reflect upon my future of the family, where we were going, both from a kind of work, business, and personal perspective. At the time, it was between kind of Christmas and New Year 2019-2020. I really disliked my full-time job at that particular point in time, and I was really looking for an exit strategy from that. And despite the big earnings, I've been in the sales industry within IT for 25 years. I was really getting to a point that the high pressure of IT sales was really kind of driving me to want to do something different with my life. There was also a realization that over the years, my wife and I, Marie, had accumulated lots of property But we'd done so in most cases abroad in our own names. And what we'd kind of realized from talking together over this was that we weren't generating any income from any of those properties, and we were just making the inheritance tax problem bigger for our kids. So these revelations really kind of drove us into, over that kind of Christmas New Year break, into some guided action to do something about generating wealth and cash flow from our assets that we had.
Yeah, yeah. Well, lots of factors there contributing towards that. And what was it that drew you towards Wealth Builders in particular? Can you remember, Neil?
Yeah, so remember very clearly, actually. So I immediately turned to property as a focus area, and started to listen to podcasts, YouTubes, watching a lot of kind of videos and reading a few books as well, audio books. And I'd initially came across Simon Zucci, who's obviously a well-known property expert in the UK. And I was invited to one of his virtual events on Good Friday 2021. And Kevin was there presenting on the virtues of SaaS pensions and what they could do to help power the property journey for many. So that's what originally kind of triggered my interest. And then I engaged formally with Wealth Builders soon after that, with Kevin specifically, to talk about some of my kind of pension bits and pieces.
Yeah, yeah. So the SaaS there was a real sort of light bulb moment for you, was it?
Very much so, yeah. So I'd obviously, I'd had some big plans in terms of what I was looking to do with my property journey. And when I kind of heard about that, I thought, this is just going to give me another string to that bow. And if I do it correctly, it could accelerate me to where I want to get to quickly.
Yeah, well, we'll come on shortly to exactly how that progressed. So moving on to step two then. So step two is all about the foundation, really taking a good stock take of kind of what you've got coming in and out of your life. And also looking at the five levels of wealth and understanding, where are you in terms of financial insecurity and what's that next level? So can you remember what level you were at when you joined, Neil?
Yeah, not surprisingly, I was definitely at financial insecurity. So we had zero income being generated from any of the assets that we owned, despite owning a number of assets and obviously being in a very kind of high-earning job. That was a bit of a realization once I started to really kind of understand the concept behind wealth building. So the position back then was, despite my kind of employment, and my other half had a very successful business. She'd been kind of running childcare businesses for the last 20 years and always been very profitable. But we were still at a point of financial insecurity because we didn't have any generating income, and we had some pretty lofty outgoings with kids at private school and, expensive lifestyles, etc. So that's kind of where I was back then. And I guess, from there, within 12 months, we are still at that same level of financial insecurity. But because of the wealth building steps that we've taken over the last 12 months, we're very much on our way to security and beyond, towards independence.
Yeah, excellent. Well, when we get to the results, perhaps we'll hear some of the things that you've done in the last 12 months to obviously move you towards that security number, Neil. The other element of the foundation, as we said, is kind of taking a stock take, call that the debits process. Mm-hmm. You said you had a lot of outgoings in your life. Was there anything that you were able to kind of reassess and cut back on there and reallocate that money somewhere?
Well, kind of ironically, it didn't make a significant dent in terms of kind of looking at some of the immediate things that we could shave off. We had a very clear strategy going into the first year that we had a dual-fold strategy, if you like, in that we wanted to reduce those outgoings as much as we possibly could. So we set ourselves a goal of reducing those personal outgoings by 25% in year one to 50% in year two, whilst at the same time building a strategy for generating net new cash flow from assets. So not a huge impact on debit specifically, but a couple of things we did do, or we have done over the last 12 months, is we decided to rent out one of our properties that we have overseas that we weren't doing before. We couldn't use it anywhere because of the pandemic. We couldn't travel there. And that obviously then allowed us to cover the costs of that property without, you know, having to, you know, pay for that after, you know, after generating income. Secondly, we, and this was a tip that we got from one of the Wealth Builders podcasts, actually, is in and around our cars. So as we started to generate cash flow from the property investments we were making from a wealth building perspective, we used that by shifting our strategy to electric vehicles and putting the cars into the business. So there was obviously tax efficiency of doing that, whilst at the same time allowing us to take a large chunk out of our kind of monthly personal outgoings.
Yeah, very smart. So, yeah, I love the way, Neil, you've just, you know, you've really embodied everything that we teach. You know, you've taken action at every single step and you've seen results. So, you know, really pleased about that. So the final step in stage one is what we call the roof. So as you're aware, this is all about protection of you and your assets. So really looking at making sure you've got wills, power of attorneys, all of these protection methods in place. So, you know, what did you discover as you went through that?
Yeah, so we'd already covered our wills and last and powers of attorney kind of several years ago. And the reason we did that was we'd historically obviously had a number of properties that we owned in our own names, and we also had my wife's business. So we had looked at wills and last and power of attorneys historically. But where there was definitely a gap was in the area of life assurance. And especially once we closed our first big property deal, which I'm sure we'll come on to, and we also invested in a new family home last year as well. So that left us very exposed. You know, I did personally, I had, you know, death in service and critical illness cover, and we had some income protection policies that we'd taken out. But what we did do, again, another tip from the Wealth Talk, was we looked at relevant life as a way of covering us both. You know, based upon our kind of new position of the assets that we were kind of building and some of the exposure that we could have been potentially leaving. And we took a relevant life cover policy out, again, through the business, using the tax efficiency benefits of doing that through, you know, through the business. You know, so that's what we did. So I'm happy to say we're now completely covered in terms of that security.
Good. So hopefully that gives you good peace of mind and a strong foundation there with all of those things in place allows us to move on to stage two of the roadmap. So now it's all about building knowledge. And this is where we start looking at the assets in step four. So we know there's seven different assets. We refer to those as pillars. Which did you already have in place with some experience when you first joined, Neil? And what other pillars have you been able to utilize since?
Yeah, so as already mentioned, you know, we've had some previous experience, you know, buying property abroad. So we were confident enough to go down that path and kind of jump into that particular area. We hadn't really had any experience of buy-to-let mortgages or anything like that. But that was our kind of first, you know, obviously first focus, you know, to grow our property portfolio here in the UK. And then from a pensions perspective, you know, I had historically kind of consolidated all of my employer pensions over the years from several companies that I've worked for into a single scheme. And we'd also spent some time moving Marie's final salary defined benefits pension into a money purchase scheme as well. So we kind of done a lot of the hard work in terms of the prep. But since joining Wealth Builders, what we've really done is double down on the property pillar, and we've also had our SaaS approved, which has allowed us to further invest in property from leveraging that particular asset as a vehicle for doing so.
Yeah, no, excellent. And I know you had a conversation with Kevin around that transfer of pensions. And as part of the S of the debits process, it's kind of assessing stock market fees and other associated fees. I think there was a story around that, Neil, was there?
There was, absolutely. And so what we did, you know, once I started to talk to Kevin, which was the initial kind of introduction to Wealth Builders, he kind of guided me and showed me the way in terms of being able to you know, attack that S and debit, if you like, in terms of those support costs that we were paying to the pension provider at the time. So we were successful at the end of that journey, which took several months of an ongoing complaint with said company to effectively make a significant saving at the end of that in terms of early withdrawal charges, which allowed us to move that additional chunk into the SAS pension fund once it, you know, once it was approved about a month after, as it happened.
Yeah.
We even got some compensation from the provider, you know, for our, you know, the headache that we'd effectively gone through as a result of that.
Well, good work there. So moving into step five, which is leverage. Leverage is key to wealth building, and it isn't necessarily always financial leverage, but it could be intellectual or relationship systems and time. So can you provide us with any examples, Neil, of how you've brought leverage into play to help you build your wealth?
Yeah, there's been many examples, actually, albeit in a very short space of time. So the obvious one when we did our first project last year was commercial finance. So, you know, we were fortunate enough, as I mentioned earlier, because of our kind of history and employment, to have a large enough deposit to invest in our first property project. So using the combination of our cash and some other cash that we'd liquidated from sales of some property that we had abroad, we were able to find that and fund the deposit through directors' loans into the company. We also borrowed the balance on a commercial buy-to-let basis, which was really the, you know, the catalyst for getting us going last year. Another area was the SAS pension. We've talked about SAS. You know, once we basically had that approved towards the end of the year, we took a loan back from the SAS pension to fund another property. So again, using the pension to be able to do that. And the associated piece to this is we also did a third party loan from the SAS as well. But the interesting part of that is not just to get a return on the investment, you are also looking to get an intellectual return as well by getting some learnings. So we've invested in a project that will give us learnings around how to develop and build and operate an apart hotel, which is something that I'm sure we'll come on to as a as a next step on the roadmap for us.
Indeed. And I just want to pull out the relationship leverage there, Neil, because, you know, you've been a great contributor to the Facebook group, you know, the private community. I see photos of you having lunches with other members. You know, tell us a little bit about some of the relationships that you've built over the last 12 months.
Yeah, so they've been varied. So Wealth Builders has been a great platform for getting into other, connected with other communities as well, like the SAS Alliance. So I've been heavily involved in the SAS Alliance over the last 12 months. And also some of the kind of local, local events here in Scotland that are very much focused on the SAS community up here in Scotland. But yeah, there's been some fantastic support. You know, obviously we've got our own administrators and trustees, you know, with regards to the different funds that we have. But just being able to connect with other, you know, trustees and administrators through that process has been really, really great. The other thing I've really enjoyed about the connections is that, you know, everybody's in that kind of same boat. Everybody's trying to do similar things. There's always going to be somebody a little bit further ahead than somebody else, but the learnings and knowledge that we've had as a result of those connections, you know, GP is a great example. You know, he's always kind of spurring me along and, you know, telling me to, you know, keep going and giving me that support that, you know, that I've needed really as I've got going over the last 12 months. So fantastic.
That's fantastic. Really good. Great to hear. Yeah, you definitely can't do this by yourself. You've got to have good people around you. Yeah. Cool. Moving into step six then. So this is all about strategy, Neil. So you've already alluded to some of the, you know, strategies by using your pension, but within property, what's really been the main focus, and especially in terms of like helping you move that needle towards your security figure?
Yeah, so back in mid-21, we decided to purchase an apartment block, which is classic Neil, actually. you know, initially the conversation on our life was that we were going to buy one or two small apartments to get us going on the journey. So, but no, I didn't want to do that. I wanted to go a little bit bigger. So we ended up buying an old, what was an old converted hotel, dates back to 1822. It was an old coaching inn. And it was developed into luxury apartments. So I'd done a lot of research in the area that we live, and it was very obvious that there was a very high rental demand here in the area, and also a significant lack of short-term rental accommodation. So what we did is we decided to purchase the properties in a single title, okay? And we've carved the apartment up into, say, 50% long-term rentals to give us that sustainable, steady, return on a month-to-month, year-to-year basis. And the other 50%, we have taken a chance on the serviced accommodation business to drive higher yields. And fingers crossed, 9 months on since we completed on the property, we seem to be definitely on the up and going well at this stage.
Excellent. And I think there's another property in the pipeline as well, is there?
Yeah, so our kind of strategy's changing slightly as a result of being able to leverage the capability of the SAS and the pension. So the next 12-month project is we're going to shift to a 100% commercial property strategy, but leveraging what we've already learned through our serviced accommodation business and the whole systemization and optimizing the processes around that. So we're now looking to purchase and develop an old school and get a change of use to a hotel, an apart hotel, in a major city centre here in Scotland. So, you know, big university town, you know, lots of historic, kind of elements to the area. So big tourism pull. And the idea is to convert that into a serviced accommodation, self-service apart hotel model. 15 to 20 rooms, and we're looking to leverage the pension to purchase the property as well as do the development and the refurbishment required. And at the end of the development phase, when we move into that kind of operational state, we're looking to lease the building back from the SAS to our limited company. So that will allow us to continue to fuel the pension, over the next 10 years until we're ready to start taking some of that as benefit. And whatever's left, it will be good cash flow that we get out to the thermometer. So
yeah, fantastic. And just to add, you're still working full-time at the moment, are you, Neil?
I certainly am, yeah. I'm happy to say I'm in a much happier place than I was in my previous role. So yeah, still working full-time and managing this along with a colleague supporting me, from a development perspective.
Yeah, so good example. Just, no excuses if you, if you have a clear plan and you can find the time, right? Okay, well, this moves us into step seven, which is all about focus, Neil. So, you're clearly focused. So what lessons can we learn from you? So once someone has chosen a strategy, the key is to follow the Wheel of Wealth, which we teach, and that means some education, good support, good connections, doing your due diligence, and then taking guided action. We've heard you give great examples of all of those already. And of course, our wealth coaches are there each month to help you stay laser focused on turning that wheel. So what benefits have you gained, Neil, from following this process and having that accountability each month?
Yeah, I mean, focus is, as you've kind of alluded to, it's never really been a big problem for me because I'm a very focused individual. I'm pretty rigorous when it comes to planning. But the Wheel of Wealth has been a fantastic process to follow. There's a lot of discussion around don't try and kind of, leapfrog one part of the process and move to the next. But what it has done is it's kept me very focused as I've gone through the kind of education support element. And in a lot of cases, I've actually partially turned the wheel this last year and then just decided that that particular strategy is not for me. So I very quickly qualified out before moving as far as the due diligence phase and onto guided action. But I think it's a fantastic process, and with a combination of the the network and the community from Wealth Builders and the SaaS Alliance in particular. It's been kind of instrumental to helping me, drive progress and do the complete wheel turn a couple of times over the last year. And throughout the years I've mentioned, I've obviously aborted partway through and moved very swiftly. You know, fail fast is a motto I live by and move to the next. Specific to the coaches, so I was fortunate enough to kind of have two coaches this year. So obviously I've got my kind of ongoing kind of wealth building coach with Carol, who's been Carol Robinson, who's been fantastic in terms of keeping me on the straight and narrow. Been a fantastic support in terms of giving me the reassurance that I'm actually doing the right things, just kind of, you know, guiding me and prodding me now and again to say, why don't we try this and try that, just to further enhance, free more time up for yourself. So that's been great. And I can't not mention Brian Harvey. Brian Harvey on the SaaS side, I was part of the SaaS program as well, so he kicked the whole process off, helped me get the approval going, and then up until very recently, he's still been there, kind of giving me the fruits of his knowledge and the guidance that's been equally as valuable as the time I've spent with Carol this last 12 months.
So, excellent,
both fantastic coaches.
Yeah, big shout out to both Brian and Carol. I know they'll be listening, so thank you for that. All right, step eight. So this is all about results. So we've turned some wheels now, as you said. Sometimes they go full cycle, sometimes they don't. But a full turn of the wheel should generate either income, cash flow or capital. So you mentioned you're at Insecurity when you joined, Neil. How much have you managed to add to your thermometer since joining?
Yeah, so I've been pretty relentless measuring the month-to-month progress and using all of the tools and templates and support that we've had from the community. But my current net cash flow, as to where we are today, we've managed to get to $3,500 a month. Now, bearing in mind I've got a pretty high bar that I'm needing to get to security. But I would say that this is net of the relevant life cover contributions going out and the cost of the nice cars that we've got as part of that. So it would be higher, if I wasn't leveraging the cash flow to fund those things. But yeah, $3,500.
That's a brilliant achievement in the first 12 months, Neil. And obviously with the project that is coming up, the school, what do you see that being able to add, hopefully?
Yeah, so that will take me well through my security threshold, which is around about 10,000, and into independence. So within 2 years of starting, I should hopefully be at my independence figure.
Wow. Wow, really great. So step nine is accelerate. I don't know if you've got any more gas in the tank, Neil, by repeating the process of choosing your pillar, your strategy, and then, obviously your use of leverage, you will move towards a place of financial independence. You're definitely on track for that. For most people, that journey, we say, takes on average 5 years. What do you see as being the key to helping you continue to stay focused and reach those goals, Neil?
I think a lot of it is down to the results that I've seen be achieved and, the great network of people that I've managed to meet. So, the continued focus, the ongoing education and connecting with those that I've already met, and I'm sure there'll be more, more great people that I come across over time. But, to me, every day is a learning day. That's a motto I've always kind of stood by and continue to stand by. I love knowing new, learning new things and figuring new things out. So I think this is really the key. It's really about staying focused and just continuing what I've started. And hopefully that will get us to the multi-year plan that we've got to, at an appropriate time in the future, be in a position to make a decision whether full-time employment is still what I want to continue doing. So that's what's driving me the most at the moment. Kids are still at private school. That's not a cheap.
I think consistency is key, and you're a great example of what's possible, Neil. You've been a fantastic member of the Wealth Builders community. So thank you. Well done. Look forward to hearing further updates in the future.
No, great. Look forward to it, Christian. And again, thanks for having me on. It's been great. Thanks.
Okay, always inspiring listening to Neil there. And just so exciting to think like where he'll be in another 12 months' time. But lots of lessons we can go through there, Kevin. Before we do that, let's read out some reviews and mixing it up again this week and heading to iTunes for some specific podcast reviews. And I've got one from Larry who says, such an informative, supportive podcast, well worth a follow. And that's followed on by Proxy Moose, who says, keep it up, guys. Loving the podcast, as informative and professional as ever. Thank you for taking up your valuable time to bring us this every week. Marvelous all round.
Well, it's good that there's an acknowledgement that we are taking time, because you know we're committed to this, Chris, aren't we? This is what 160 now? And we're going to continue to do that, to share lessons and learnings and insights and distinctions fundamentally from not just us. It's not just a one-way traffic from us to communicate, but we want to have people, you know, communicate back to us and tell us what they're liking, what they're not liking, what they want more of, what they want less of. And so thank you for taking a moment or two of your time, those two nice people, to say something that we can learn from as well.
Yeah, and wherever you're listening to the podcast, you may or may not be able to leave a review, but if you'd like to just share some words, then the easiest place is head to wealthbuilders.co.uk/reviews, and you can pop one on Google or Trustpilot, and we'll read it out in the coming weeks.
Yes, and Neil has been very generous with his reviews for us, because you know we've been instrumental in helping him in many ways. But bear in mind, of course, it's Neil who's doing the work. All we're doing is helping to focus all of that energy that he's got. And just before diving into lessons, I just want to pay a personal note of tribute to Neil. You know, I was recently talking about playing golf, and I posted something on that, and he said, well, you know, why don't you guys come to Glen Eagles? I'm 10 minutes away, you know, which is a world-famous golf course. So he's always looking to help people and to be generous of spirit and nature. And I think he embodies the real Wealth Builder community. So hats off to Neil, and keep going, Neil. You're going to be a shining light, and hey, maybe one day you might be a wealth coach.
That would be cool, wouldn't it? So so Neil referred back to the first time he came across Wealth Builders, really, Kevin, and actually he came across you, because if you remember back to that Easter Friday 2021 when you were doing a webinar for Simon Zucci. I remember that very well. Okay. And that's where Neil, you know, jumped on, heard you talk about the world of SaaS pensions, and just kind of opened his eyes and thought, wow, there's something that I'm kind of missing, a trick here. Piqued his interest. And then that was quickly followed up with a phone call with yourself. And I think that phone call was quite an interesting one.
Well, you know, the whole concept of SaaS, Chris, is a fascinating one. And anybody who takes time to think about it can understand that pensions are the bedrock of retirement planning, therefore wealth planning in the UK. And most pensions are extraordinarily bad value for money. We like recurring income, don't we? That's the essence of wealth building. Sadly, for most people, the only recurring income story that's going on there is the institutions taking a percentage of somebody else's money. And I think that's time for a big shakeup. And thanks to Neil for, you know, taking that curiosity one step further to find out. And that's what I think, you know, lots of people don't do, Chris. They hear something that could be good for them, whatever that would be, and they just prejudge it. They go, well, you know, maybe I haven't got the time for this, or maybe it all sounds too complicated. Instead of just taking the very first step, and we often find that, Chris, don't we, when we open our doors for new members, we'll say, look, you know, you can't buy what we're offering you. We want you to come on a call so we can help you. And then during that call, you're establishing the context of whether we'd be a good fit for you and you'd be a good fit for us. But still, so few people, as an overall percentage of people who listen to us, take that very first step towards trying to be financially independent, like Neil has done. And I'm so impressed with Neil's commitment. And we only ask people to spend a month, don't we? 8 hours in a month. If you can't spend that length of time, it's going to be really difficult, if not impossible, to build your wealth. And he finds that. And I think COVID was one of those helping hands there, wasn't it, really? Because of the hybrid lifestyle that many people are now working, they can carve out a little bit more time. than they had before when they were jet setting or flying and doing all sorts of things, where it's so much more difficult to spend some quality time in education, in support, or in building and working with the wealth builder community. So again, you know, I think the timing was right for Neil. Maybe reflect on that if you're listening. You know, what's stopping you from just taking a step forward to help build your wealth, whether with wealth builders or anybody else?
Mm. And because Neil's, you know, good at managing his time, he actually was able to join both of our programs, wasn't he? We actually run two core programs really at Wealth Builders. One is the Academy, which is holistic, and the other is the SaaS program, which is obviously much more focused on the pension pillar. And you know, sometimes that's right for people to do that, Kevin. And sometimes, you know, we say, well, look, probably best start with one so you don't have overwhelm, have too much going on.
Yeah, that's a good point, Chris, that you make. I think the two core programs, which, you know, are the same price as well, so sometimes people can get confused. The jigsaw puzzle, the puzzle of how to build wealth, the whole kind of outline, is in the Academy program. And I think it's always wise to start there because then you're building on solid principles. But if you've got a burning desire and you've got some time and you've got enough money to consider it, and the limited company, because of course you need to be, you need to have a limited company to be able to be eligible for SaaS. And it's a puzzle piece, you know, it's one piece of the overall jigsaw puzzle, but it's a very powerful one because it's a way to turn pension money and turn it into any of the other pillars. So you can turn it into property, business, intellectual property, or joint ventures. And so few pensions can do that. You know, most pensions are stuck on a stock market roller coaster with no recurring income at all, save for the point that I mentioned before, the recurring income that flows into the institutions for the privilege of managing money, which is not difficult to do. And we teach that as an investment pillar, don't we? That you can learn to manage your money and be empowered to delegate, that's fine. But delegation very quickly, as we know, can turn into abdication. And that's the worst of all worlds, really.
Mm. So coming back to the roadmap then, and the first thing is obviously stage one, building confidence, getting the foundations in place, putting the roof on. And Neil talked about a few things there. You know, they had properties already, mostly abroad, and they were holiday homes. So they, you know, were just empty. And during COVID, obviously, we weren't able to travel, weren't able to use those. So started to rent them out. So actually, they're starting to cover their costs. And that was just one of the things that Neil did as part of the debits process. And then when reviewing the roof, obviously, the protection of his assets, they were exposed to relevant life and able to then put that through the business, which was more tax efficient. And again, you know, finding some savings there. So those were all very good things that were done in the early stages. And in fact, we did a podcast on relevant life insurance back on episode 66, which was titled Six Tax Saving Tips. So I'll link to that one in the show notes. So anyone listening can find out more.
Yeah, well, let me add a touch to that, because the whole debits process of reviewing debt, education, bills, insurance, tax, and stock market fees, it sounds like it runs off the tongue, but in reality, it's quite deep and meaningful, and it always unveils something. And most people will discover quite a bit of money, and in Neil's case, quite a lot in the pension pillar as well, you know, because of some challenges that we'd spotted, and then we overcame those challenges, which led to a saving, you know, almost to £50,000. So, you know, big things can be done there, but most people don't start. They go, oh, I won't find anything, you know. But we've got countless examples of people who saved money in the debits process, Chris. So the tax side of things, really, really important. And also recognizing that when you're building wealth, we want you to consider yourself as an entrepreneur, and entrepreneurs solve problems, and it's easier to build wealth if you've got a business. Because often you've got a cost in your life that you're paying for out of post-tax income. You know, you paid your tax, you paid your national insurance, and so is your employer. But you can switch that and redirect that often to your company. So you direct it, redirect it to your limited company. And relevant life is just one of those examples where instead of paying for life cover separately, you get your company to do it, and that basically reduces your tax bill by 50%, give or take, and also means you can either have more cover for your family or just cost you less. So if you save a lot more money, then you can plant the seed of the saving and build more wealth with it. So the whole thing is a very virtuous circle. But, you know, you've got to start being open-minded to doing it. And as we keep saying, yeah, Neil has done a great job of just continuing to follow the lessons and is not trying to sort of hold himself back.
Yeah, and the other smart thing that Neil mentioned there is purchasing the electric cars, which, again, could be run through the business. So, again, more tax-saving benefits.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so once the foundation's in place and your roof is secured, then, of course, we move into stage two of our roadmap, and this is all about building knowledge. So this is where we decide, you know, which are the right pillars to be focusing on, where's your leverage coming from, and then what strategy will you be following? And Neil already had some experience of property, but not really in the UK. He wasn't so familiar with buy-to-lets. And Neil, being Neil, just kind of wanted to go all in. So he actually ended up purchasing an old hotel and learned how to convert that into luxury apartments and then actually turn that into a serviced accommodation strategy. And again, all of this was just built up through asking questions and networking and community and, of course, working with his coach. So, you know, all of the information is out there, Kevin, isn't it?
Yes, and I think where you're trying to make distinctions to build wealth, a lot of people will hold themselves back again, Chris. And Neil's been almost like an arrowhead. You know, you can see there's a wind that blows on us all and we know there's a big wind coming. But he's seeing and he's cutting through that by focusing, rather than being buffeted by the wind to say, well, you know, property prices are too high or the stock market is too volatile. And you just pushed and pulled in so many different directions, almost that wind buffeting you from both sides. But by zeroing on something he could do and found himself a niche, and that he liked the holiday side, of course he did, from his own experience, but now has turned that into a real genuine business and having a hotel that you can turn into very nice apartments and make a very solid and substantial revenue because it's in a town that he knows and is relatively close to home. So, which is, you know, populated well by visitors.
And again, an example of the power of combining multiple pillars together, because now moving into a commercial property strategy, he's able to leverage his pension to purchase that. But even cleverer is something that, you know, you've been advocating for a long time, Kevin, is getting this free education and a double ROI on your money. And when you can use your pension to lend for a third-party loan, then you can also not only get a return on your investment, but you get a return on interaction as well, because you can learn as part of that process.
Yeah, we call that a return on intellect, Chris, but I get your point. The return on interaction is more about building relationships, but of course that's a combination effect as well. So you're getting multiple ROIs all at the same time. And Neil's done a good job, and we've done our best to connect him to people in our community. And that's an important point to reflect on as well, Chris, that, you know, we build – Wealth Builders is the only completely holistic and impartial wealth-building company in the UK. We don't push one agenda at all. And as a result, we're almost like a curator of excellence. So wherever we see excellence out there, the best in the UK at a certain wealth building pillar and strategy and the niche of some of those strategies, then we can connect our members to that more often than not with some kind of a discount or benefit or a bonus to allow them to get a significant advantage than if they'd approach them directly. And the other point being, of course, if somebody's a Wealth Builder member and they're introduced personally by me or by you, then they're getting access almost behind the curtain. It's almost like a VIP access to things, and we're proud to be able to do that. Our black book of what sometimes people call the little black book is now a very big black book, and we're always looking for great people. So again, if you know somebody who's outstanding at what they do and you're building your own wealth with their help, let us know. And maybe we can add them to our black book of contacts, and you'll be doing them a service. So give the gift of generosity by telling us if you've got anybody who's consistently 9 out of 10 in your life. And that's what we look for, Chris, isn't it? It's a question I ask everybody. Who's 9 out of 10 in your life? And we've connected Neil to people who are 9 out of 10. And of course, Neil is very much 9 out of 10 himself. So perfect combination.
Yeah. And, you know, Neil's just been following the process. So obviously, once he got clear on his plan, then we teach the Wheel of Wealth. That's the process of education, support, connection, due diligence, guided action. And that's really where you work closely with your coach, your wealth coach, on a monthly basis. And Neil very kindly, you know, gave a nod to Carol Robinson, his wealth coach, but also Brian Harvey, who has been his SaaS expert along the way and really, really helped. And sometimes those wheels don't go full turn. And Neil said that himself. And you've got to fail fast and sometimes just let go when something's not working and move on to the next wheel turn. And Neil has now successfully turned the wheel to be generating £3,500 per month recurring income within 12 months. And he said within the next 12 months, he will achieve his financial security figure, which for Neil, because of the high outgoings, children at private schools and the lifestyle that he enjoys, you know, it's a little bit higher for Neil. So yeah, to achieve that within 2 years is still an absolutely amazing result.
Yeah, look, most people can achieve financial independence in, you know, 5 years on average, maybe 7 years if you know, got some things that are pulling against you in terms of time or your initial starting capital, anything like that. But, you know, if you can do that in 5 years, and in Neil's case, probably more quickly, but 5 years of putting a few hours in a month to be financially independent for the rest of your life, rather than work 40 odd years and be financially insecure for the rest of your life and never be able to leave a great legacy. I don't know. It just seems to me, why would 95% just keep, you know, turning that old fashioned wheel, the hamster wheel, the whatever wheel that, you know, people turn, the tyranny of the routine of daily life, as I call it. Why would they do that when all you're looking for the most part, Chris, is a catalyst to get you out? You know, something that just nudges you and says, enough's enough. For Neil, he found it himself. I found it myself through a tragic early death of my father. But you don't need tragedy to do it. It can sometimes be an inspiration. And I hope that if you've been a listener to this podcast for a while and you're on 160 and you've been listening to a few episodes, what's holding you back? What could you be doing to make the first connection? You know, book a call with Chris and just talk to him and he can help you understand, is there a way that you can accelerate your path to wealth? Or whatever it is, do something. Don't sit and just watch and be buffeted by the wind that's coming. And that wind that's coming is going to be stormier than ever before and for longer than ever before as stagflation starts to settle in to the UK and the US. And it's not going to be a fun ride, Chris. So you need some help to keep you safe.
Definitely, you know, take that first step. If you're just curious, just to have a chat, just to see if there's some way that we could help you along the way, then book a call and go to wealthbuilders.co.uk/discovery call. Just book a short call and we can chat together there. So, okay, well done again to Neil. Thanks for sharing. And again, if you've enjoyed the episode and you think someone else might like to hear Neil's story, why not share this with a friend? Just head to your podcasting app and hit the share button. And Kevin, we will undoubtedly be back again, same time, same place next week.
We will indeed. And until then, my friend, see you.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget that we are constantly updating our resources inside the Wealth Builders membership site to help you create, build, and protect your wealth. Head over to wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership right now for free access. That's wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership.